Here we are with Tim Versalotti of the Western New England University poll, and a guy who knows more about politics, particularly in Massachusetts, but all around, than just about anybody that I know. Tim, thanks for being with us.
Good to be here.
Okay, so, one of the things that I find very interesting is you're an expert in mass politics, and I, Western New England, of course, university, I think we've been talking Trump, 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 national Biden, some more Trump. Have we stopped looking at state politics and at legislative politics in particular? For example, Massachusetts has a new House Speaker, Bob Mariano, after Robert DeLeo left for Northeastern University. In such a overwhelmingly blue state house, does this mean anything?
Well, Mariano is very much in the mold of Bob DeLeo. He'll run a tight ship there. He'll be one of the big three, along with the Senate president and the governor, that sit down to hammer out the budget each year. It was a bit of an unexpected transition. This all broke over a couple of weeks. And to be honest, the average Massachusetts voter is pretty much unaware of those goings on, unless there's a major bill pending in the state house. The governor remains the symbol of state government. And we're entering a very interesting period in terms of Governor Baker. His term will be up in 2022. He could run again. He's keeping his plans close to the vest. He's a very popular governor, one of the most popular in the country. But we're seeing some public unhappiness with his handling of the state's response to COVID, and in particular, the rollout of the vaccine. Massachusetts ranks in the lowest third among states in the nation in terms of the percentage of the population being vaccinated. And very little else has taken a bite out of Charlie Baker's approval ratings in his two terms in office. He still, most recent polls, including ours, had him at about 70% job approval. But handling of the vaccination program for COVID, this could be something that eats into that public support, because there is a lot of frustration in terms of who is getting access, that it's not happening fast enough. And Baker is trying to respond by updating the state's eligibility to widen the number of people who are eligible. Starting February 1st, folks who are 65 and up will have access to vaccines. Workers in key industries like teachers in K through 12, mass transit, grocery store employees will have access. The question becomes, will it be quickly enough to prevent the governor's standing from eroding in Massachusetts?
And you take it that people are really so concerned about this that usually they don't care that much about politics one way or another. But when it comes to saving their own lives, it means a great deal.
It really does. And we're entering a period where the 14-day averages for hospitalizations and deaths in Massachusetts is beginning to trend downward, which is a good thing. But everyone is cognizant that there are variations on COVID that are out there that are surfacing that are much more easily transmissible. And so it does become almost a race against time here to vaccinate enough people. One of the issues in Western Massachusetts has been access to a mass vaccination site. The state recently opened up Gillette Stadium in Foxborough to allow large numbers of people to come and be vaccinated. And members of the state House and Senate delegation from Western Massachusetts wrote to the governor saying, hey, don't forget about us. We often feel like the forgotten part of the state. The four Western counties make up about 12% of the state's population. And it feels like a lot of things are tilted towards Boston in terms of public services. Well, the governor did announce the opening of the first mass vaccination site in Springfield. Eastfield Mall in East Springfield will begin vaccinating people later this week. And we'll see how that goes. It's not doesn't have the parking and infrastructure that a place like Gillette will have. There still could be some traffic issues, but it appears at least that the governor is beginning to hear the request from Western Massachusetts to make sure we're not left behind in terms of vaccine distribution.
Let me go to the national stage and ask you about Chuck Schumer. How's he doing?
Well, it's interesting. When Georgia had its special election to fill two Senate seats on January 5th, and the Democrats won both, I think the expectation among Democrats was, well, once Kamala Harris is sworn in as vice president to break ties in the Senate, the Democrats will be in the majority, and Chuck Schumer will be the majority leader. Easier said than done when you've got a 50-50 Senate. He's had to negotiate a power sharing agreement with the Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, and it's taken a while. McConnell tried to use this opportunity to push the Democrats to take a position on the Senate filibuster, which would require 60 votes to get most things done in the Senate. There are many Democrats who would like to see that disappear. And it appeared that McConnell was painting Schumer into a corner on that. Schumer held fast, though. It was clear there are two Democrats among the 50 Democrats, the 48 Democrats and the two independents, who said, no way, we're never getting rid of the filibuster. It undermines, getting rid of it would undermine bipartisanship. That's Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, and Kyrsten Sinema, the Democrat from Arizona. So Schumer made clear to McConnell he wasn't going to press a decision on filibuster. McConnell has dropped that tactic, and it appears that they will move ahead, figure out a power sharing agreement, equal numbers from each party on committees, but each committee chaired by a Democrat, and tie votes in each committee will still send legislation and nominations to the Senate floor for discussion. So Schumer's hand is stronger now. He's played it well so far, and it'll be interesting to see how he navigates this. It's a tricky business, but so far he's handled it well.
The thing about the filibuster, Tim Versalotti, is that it seems pretty clear to me that there isn't, as you have just suggested, going to be a stoppage of the filibuster because there aren't enough votes, including two Democratic votes. So for McConnell, who may, by the way, win in 2 years another majority in the Senate, no big thing.
And it is historically the case that the party holding the White House loses seats
That's
in the
right.
House and Senate in the midterm election. So that precious 50 seat, 48 Democrats and two independents caucusing with them is fragile and might not be very long lived. So what does the Biden administration do in response? Look for common ground where they can, but they can use a legislative technique called budget reconciliation, which cannot be filibustered, and it only requires 51 votes. So if the 48 Democrats and the two independents hold tight, Vice President Harris would be the tie-breaking vote, and you can do a lot with that. President Biden has introduced a massive aid package for COVID, $1.9 trillion. And we're hearing Republicans in the Senate express concern about the budget deficit, something they really didn't talk about when they were cutting
You're right. They
taxes
were very
in
quiet about
the
it
House.
when they were doing it. Right.
But they found that old-time religion again. But it is conceivable that the Biden administration could rely on budget reconciliation and get that package through with
And but
51 votes.
and we don't have any time, but Biden is a moderate, and by allowing the filibuster to continue, obviously some of the more progressive, let's put it that way, ideas are going to be thwarted.
They will. And Biden's got a thread, a very small eye of a needle here in terms of what he can get through. He's got to choose his battles carefully. But he's the only game in town right now for progressive Democrats. And at least up to now, that wing of the party has seen that it's best not to undermine a new president when you're trying to get at least some of your priorities through. Let's see how long that peaceful agreement among the wings of the Democratic Party holds up. It's there for now.
Exactly. We love talking to Tim Versalotti, professor of political science, and are those students who get to have you lucky. That's so clear. So anyway, Tim Versalotti, thanks for being with us. And when we come around the next time, we'll be all ears, ready to hear from you
Thank you.
again.
I look forward to it. Thank you, Alan.